Happy Wednesday, everybody. Be having a great day. Everybody hear me okay? Thumbs up. All right. Give it a couple minutes for the stragglers. Do we have any first time call people here today on the first call?
It's my first time on the call. How's it going, guys?
Hey, oh, hey, man, you just signed up today. Did you, Daniel?
Yep, last night.
Nice, man. Well, welcome.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. Where are you in the world?
I'm in Tampa.
Oh, nice. We're neighbors. Do you train at my gym?
I'm actually gonna go by at 7:15. I'm gonna swing by.
Oh, sick. Okay. Did you tell somebody you're coming? You have a tour booked?
I believe so.
Okay, cool. Otherwise, you can't just pull the door. It's locked. So, as long as somebody knows you're coming. Okay, Matt set you up.
Yeah,
Perfect.
I think Matthias set it up, so.
Nice. Perfect, man. Well, yeah, get in there. And once you're in there, I'll introduce you to everybody. So, everyone will welcome you and give you what you need as far as support with like exercise execution and understanding everything that's there. We've got a pretty solid team in.
Yeah, awesome. I'm excited.
Nice. What part of the city are you in? What part of Tampa?
Like channel side?
Oh, sick.
Yeah, the gym's like 8 minutes away.
Perfect. Very cool. Well, welcome to the community, man. We will do our best to support. Show up every Wednesday and we'll try to. So the point of these Wednesday calls, so everyone knows, is some topics are very hot in the world right now. Some topics are very relevant to all the guys in the community calls. So we just want to make sure that we're kind of supporting you guys and ultimately building a community of value-driven men. Yeah, that's the point of these calls. Any questions you guys have that are relevant, that are important to you, are probably important to everybody else. So, just want to throw that out there. If you guys come to these calls with questions, comments, concerns, that's why we're here. And it's a community. It's not just going to be the Ben show. It's not going to be the Andrew show. It's not going to be the Steve show. It's going to be everyone. Ultimately, helping each other be great. So, why did I choose Tampa? I was living in LA and I met a wonderful lady and she lived in Tampa and I was compelled to go. So, and it's a beautiful place, man. Like, I wouldn't want to be living in LA, so that's for sure. Not that I want to bring up political climate, but Stevie, where are you? You're in a different place.
No, just upstairs. The kids are making a lot of noise downstairs.
This
I
is
rearranged it so that it would be like, better. I was wrong. And now it's worse.
You
So
mean the background or what's worse?
no, the downstairs where I usually am. I
Oh.
thought it would be a better thing for things to be segregated. So I could like have like a different area, but now they just like, oh, this is like a new fort area.
Man, buddy, no one's ever gonna judge you for having three little angels running around, man. At least no one in this community, I would hope.
No, it's not that. I love that they're playing. It's just it can be like hard to hear anything. That's all.
Yeah, man, I always say the kids are way more important than we are. So, you know that. As long as they're happy, man. All right. So, gents, the thing I thought I would talk about today is. So you guys may, throughout the duration of your time with us, get some surveys, some weekly check-in forms, some monthly check-in forms. So what we're really trying to get as much information from you as you can, as we can. And while it may feel annoying, there's an intention behind it. We spend a lot of time trying to curate your experience, trying to optimize your experience, trying to give you what you need and nothing else, right? Or what you need, what you want, and not all of the other noise, right? Not all the other information. So there's no question that there's a lot of information out there, and trying to sort it all can be very, very challenging, right? So certainly for you, people who probably aren't fitness probably isn't your profession. So I just wanted to give you guys this framework that I, if you guys have heard, there's a couple different frameworks that I like to use that help me to navigate all the information. So, you guys, for those of you who don't know, I'm writing a course right now to coach other coaches. So it's top of mind for me. And so if you guys talked to Mats at some point on the call, he talked about the four resiliencies. And so if you kind of break down what the way I like to work is my brain likes to work in frameworks, because historically when I was a kid, I had a terrible memory, and I realized I had a terrible memory because my lifestyle was a disaster. Very stressed lifestyle, slept with the lights on, my diet was terrible. So like, how could you possibly have a memory that worked? So I started learning to pass school with frameworks. So I would remember things in like buckets, and I'd be like, oh, I remember it goes in this bucket. And so my brain started learning frameworks out of necessity. And what at the time felt like a learning disability turned into a gift. It turned into something that allows me to retain and understand information at a depth that many people can't. So the four resiliencies is a model around which we kind of base a lot of our coaching. So if you've heard us talk in the past about training, nutrition, lifestyle, and mindset, those directly correlate. So training, nutrition, lifestyle, mindset, those directly correlate with physical capability, metabolic capability, physiological capability, and psychological capability, right? And the capability can also be exchanged with the word resilience. So psychological resilience. And so what I want to talk about today is the fourth pillar, or the fourth resiliency, which is psychological resilience. Because I think a lot of us right now in the world we live in, we struggle. We struggle to achieve goals. We struggle to be happy and fulfilled. Anybody else ever experienced that? Ever realize, like, hey man, sometimes life is hard. And in our society, it tends to be very tends to move toward a coddling, doesn't it? It tends to like move in the direction of like, oh, everything's gonna be okay, and it's okay to be soft, it's okay to be weak, and everyone has to like just coddle each other, right? And I think sometimes in life, what men need is not to be coddled, but to be told the truth from someone who they respect and from someone who they believe has their best interest at heart, right? And I hope that us as a community can do that for each other. And so one of the things we're going to be doing in the coming months is we're going to start creating pods of men who are like-minded in values, like-minded in goals, like-minded or similar in age, similar in location, geographical location. Some people would have graduated from the same college and like things like that. So we're going to try to group you guys based on commonalities with the objective of creating some degree of community and accountability amongst the teams. We'll create some competition amongst the teams, so everyone's competing. But this concept of honesty comes up a lot. And this co concept of truth comes up a lot in my life, certainly. And I throughout my childhood, I never had a role model or a mentor who, when I was getting out of line, just said, "Hey, you're being a fucking idiot. Get back in line." To paraphrase, it doesn't have to be in so many words. Or, "Hey, you're the reason you're not fulfilled right now. The reason you're not happy is because you're not doing the things you need to do, right?" And identifying the things you need to do first, and then saying, "Hey, you need to do these things." So one of the things I think about with my son is there's all the things that you want to do, and there's all the things that you need to do, you have to do, and you probably don't want to do. And a lot of us sweep those things under the rug, like, it's not so important. And we often choose the thing that's expedient. Anyone else find themselves doing that throughout the day? Like, there's this big thing you got to take care of, but you end up doing those other things. So you just accumulate small wins. You're like, oh yeah, I did this thing today. I've cleaned my did my made my bed today, did my dishes today. But we never do anything that moves us in the direction of the, bless you, Chris, of the big rock that we're really trying to move, or the big goal, right? Does anyone ever find that? So does anyone on this call let's say this way, not have something bigger than themselves that they're working toward right now? Right? And when I say bigger than yourself, even just getting in shape is not enough. Why isn't that enough? Because when things get hard, you need some purpose that's bigger than you to inspire you to keep going. And for some of us, it's just a natural thing that happens inside, but for some of us, it's not. And it could be circumstantial, right? And it could be there could be phases of life. And so if you don't have something in your life right now that's bigger than you, bigger than your small, inconsequential, hedonistic needs every day, I need to eat, I need to have sex, I need to whatever, feel good. Those are great. But if you don't have something bigger than yourself that you're moving yourself toward, every time it becomes challenging, there's no reason to continue. And these are the people who end up working in circles, feel like their life's a little bit chaotic. They never feel like they're making progress. They never have a degree of fulfillment. They never have a sense of security, happiness, accomplishment, confidence, self-belief. They'll just kind of fall away because we don't have a clear vision of where we're going, why we're going there, and why it's important, and ultimately how we're going to get there. Does anyone else relate? Yeah. Okay, so I thought today we would talk about the first step, not the last step. Right? I don't care where you're going. At the end of the day, it's up to you to decide where you're going. But the first step. So the first step is, I think in every, well, let's talk about two steps. So I think there's two steps that are worthwhile talking about today. The first step in all change across the board, regardless if you're trying to change the way you look, trying to change your finances, you're trying to change how you show up in a relationship. The first step of, in all change is awareness. And so awareness is the ability to be present in my actions, my thoughts, so that I can make a change. You have to be aware of it before I can make a change, right? So the first step in all change is awareness. And the second step that I see, it's not necessarily the second step in sequence, because I could give you something else in that direction, but the second step that I encourage you, that I want to talk about today, that I encourage everyone to embody during this month of September is delayed gratification and being able to sit in discomfort or the absence of instant gratification. And I find, and I'd be curious to hear everyone's feedback, I find that the people who are most successful in life in every domain are simply the best at delaying gratification, right? And that could mean spending money. That could mean sex, pornography. That could mean food. That could mean social media. All the above are opportunities to delay gratification. And when you delay gratification, the prize at the end of the tunnel, at the end of the delay, is bigger. And your brain goes, oh my gosh, this is big. But because gratification is always right at our fingertips, it's very hard to become one, aware of it, and two, break the habit of the mindless unconsciousness that we all exist in, that just ends up being this circle jerk of perpetual instant gratification. And so I wanted to bring that up for you guys today and challenge every one of you guys to find the one, two, three areas of your life where you are choosing the easy path and stop it. You got almost a full month left. What are your commitments to yourself? And again, you have to share with me. You can if you want. But the pillar we're talking about today is mindset. And the first step to changing your life, and ultimately what we say is mindset optimization. I'm not going to tell you the last step, but I'll tell you what I think the first step is starting to become uncomfortable, or sorry, starting to become comfortable with delaying instant gratification, with pushing it off. So it may look like removing social media from your phone for 30 days. It may look like committing to not watching pornography for 30 days. It may look like not eating any sugar or processed carbohydrates for 30 days. It may look like not spending any money for 30 days, right? Except on obviously necessities. And the ability to delay that, you know, if you want to buy a house, what do you do? Don't spend money, right? You want to find a great partner, what do you do? Stop looking at pornography every day. That's going to gratify you, not inspire you to go out and find a partner. Yeah. Someone I was talking to someone this morning, and he was like, I'm gonna not do, you know, social media, pornography, and spend money for 30 days. I'm like, yeah, that'll save your marriage. Having a hard time in your relationship? that'll save your marriage. Coaches, anything you guys want to add to this? Steve?
No, man, I think it's right on. I think that's really it's just it takes some reflection, right? I know personally the thing that I struggle with is the needs and wants and deciphering between them both,
Mm.
because sometimes like we get lost in that, and it can I found it's harder as you get older, because like there definitely are certain sacrifices I shouldn't say you have to make, because like they're we can always make time, but at the same time though, like we're adults, we have certain things that we need to get done. Like take care of our dependents and whatnot, and then we have to balance that. I still remember that when I originally gave up mountain biking a long time ago, just because I got into weightlifting or lifting weights and the gym, and that was like the first time I was kind of like, that's an adult step, and the reason why is just because I liked it, but I didn't need it, right? And I just got rid of it because it was taking up time, and it was like a whole day event to go do this, and I could do the same thing by going to the gym. And so I know that there's other areas of my life that are like, that doesn't need to be there. And self-admittedly, 100% social media, that can definitely come down.
So just speaking of that really quickly, right? There being leisure, which I would categorize mountain biking as, is still an important domain of your life, right? So I would say fitness and leisure can be separate. So like fitness is I got to go and train, I got to do my cardio, I got to do my mobility, I got to do my meditation, right? That's fitness. But I would say leisure can and still be a domain for many people. It may not be a domain when you have three children, but or at least that specific. It's still a domain, but I think that specific modality may not be the domain. Maybe your leisure when you would have kids is like, hey, we're going to the beach, or we're going to go to the park. At least still leisure, but I think leisure should be important.
Oh, absolutely. I completely agree. I just find that with things like that, and maybe I'm not alone in this, things like that where I grab onto, I don't like doing it a little bit, right?
Totally.
I like
Why
doing
we're
it.
friends, Steve. This is why we're friends, brother.
It's hard. So it's like I want to go at it. So yeah, it's just yeah, it's hitting home. That's all.
Yeah. Every day, right? That's the obsessive personality. And I think that's, man, I think that's our gift. I often used to think being obsessed was bad. I think it's a gift. I think it's just learning how to direct it and be intentional with your choosing, like you say you are. Michael Maris, I know you got something interesting to contribute to this.
I was going to say that you guys hit off the big points. I don't want to just kind of talk in circles. You mentioned circle jerks, so I don't want to go back. I don't want to go backwards there. But I think it's I'll just reiterate just the importance of identifying where those spots are where you know you're not living in accordance to your values really. It's like, okay, what can I kind of put on the proverbial chopping block here? And what can I add in? And maybe it's leisure time still, but it's an opportunity to, like you kind of mentioned, Ben and Steve as well, to spend time with your family. And maybe that leisure time also happens to be something active as well. So you guys get outside, play ball with your kids, play football. It's like, okay, now we can blend, fitness, leisure, and family time in one. I'm kind of looking for ways to do that with my guys who are dads. In family men. So how can we kind of blend these all together so you also become a great leader for your family and in turn are getting them to be active as well?
Yeah, so everyone here is I think everyone here gets a weekly call or a biweekly call with their coach. And so every Monday at 1 p.m., I have a call with my coach. And the way I use that time is often to be really vulnerable with like, hey man, fucking up in this area. Hey man, what do you think about this? Hey man, I find myself avoiding this conversation. And I think so speaking of what Michael's saying a little bit, there needs to be a degree of one, self-awareness, two, vulnerability in order for us all to be able to work through this stuff. Because it's not always easy to one, identify, two, learn what the hell to do with it once you start identifying the challenges, limitations, and weak spots. So something to think about. Go ahead, Mats.
Yeah, I just wanted to add to this. It intertwines with what you were saying there. For example, like the social media one, most of us on this call are a lot of bike there. most of us on this call are at least spending an hour on social media per day, right? And then the question becomes, how often are we guilty of saying that we don't have time for a mobility routine or for cardio, right? And to put things into perspective, you know, like a 30-minute walk on the treadmill at an incline of three or an incline of five at a speed of three is going to burn about 300 calories, right? In 30 minutes. If you do that five times a week, five times three is 1500. In the month, that's 6,000 calories. That's a pound and a half of fat lost in just half an hour of substituting social media time for a walk on the treadmill. And when you throw in a mobility routine that we also tell ourselves we don't have time for, how much more pain-free movement would you have? How much better would your exercise execution be? And wouldn't you want to be a little bit leaner and have your body fat lower by just substituting that 60 minutes for something of more value, right?
I mean, I think the thing that comes up for me as you say that, buddy, is you got to schedule it. And again, one of the things that is this again delayed gratification conversation is like if you schedule and it's on your calendar, then it needs to become a non-negotiable. So here's actually a funny story that ties in very nicely. So the guy that I hired, everyone's like, oh, Ben's got a coach. Yeah, the guy that I hired, you know why I hired him? I'll tell you the very short version. I showed up at an event that he was speaking at. And my kids were young, and I showed up late because I had to take my kids to school. I told him, I was like, hey, man, unfortunately, I'm not going to make it on time. I'm going to be 15 minutes late, but I got to take my kids to school and I'll get there as soon as I can. There's no problem. Second day, same thing. He goes, it's Saturday. Why did you have to, why are you late? I was like, I had to take my kids to my grandma, to their grandma's. My wife didn't tell me till like 5 minutes before I had to leave. I was late again. So he goes, all right, everybody stand up. This is the whole group, 50, 40, 50 people. Does everybody stand up? Goes, is there anybody in this group that has to leave early? I raise my hand. He goes, why do I have to leave early? So I have to go pick up my kids. He goes, okay. Where else is this showing up in your life? And I go, what do you mean? He goes, you take on more than you can handle. Where else is this showing up in your life? Think about it. And he goes, get up. You're done. And he goes, you need to learn to that when you make a, he said, you need to learn that when you make a commitment, your commitment is your word, and your commitment, your word is everything. And if you say you're going to do something, you do it. And if you don't, imagine your kids couldn't eat. Would you do it? You go, yeah. It's like, wow. So still to this day, I learned this lesson of taking on more than I can handle. But that's why I hired him, because he was the first guy in probably 10 years to call me on my bullshit and identify my weak spot before I even knew it was there, right? And anyone who can do that is a very, very important gift. This guy's been in my life for almost 5 years now. And every single week, he'll be on here to teach us eventually. We're partnering on some stuff. Every single, so I pay him for the whole year. And every single week is more impactful than the last. Just because I show up being vulnerable and asking good questions. And I encourage you guys to do that with your coaches as well. Juan. Where'd you go, Juan? I don't hear, brother. You muted.
I love the mindset part of this because I help and teach this through organizations for leadership. And one of the things that helped me kind of get through my downfall was exactly what you said about the delayed gratification. But we all, I think it is our nature, our new nature, because I don't think this was like this all the time, that the instant gratification we have been accustomed to. And so how do I create my own instant gratification? And so came up with this thing of like what we say yes to, we say no to, and what we say no to, we say yes to. So like my coach Chris, I keep on telling him like, I don't want to go to the gym today, but I go. And so if I say yes to the gym, then I'm saying no to, bad habits. I'm saying no to being lazy. So I have to physically and verbally tell myself, like, good job. Like I have a victory today. When I said yes to, I also said no to this. And so like we had crumble cookies at a party, and I'm like, I'm gonna, and I verbally had to take, it's funny, my aunt was like, are you talking to yourself? And I'm like, yes, I am. I'm actually talking to myself. I was like, I picked up the cookie and I was like, no, I'm gonna say no to this because I'm saying yes to my fitness. I'm saying yes to my health and yes to longevity for my kids. I have three boys, and I was like, if I was putting them through the same thing, I would want them to make the same decision. So I'm saying no to this because this is my yes. And so I found that that was a quick gratification. So like I created my own. So I constantly go through what you say yes to, you say no to, and what you say no to, you say yes to. And you have to verbally say that, because I think a lot of times we write stuff down. And part of the training stuff that I do is like, when you write it down, or you just think you're going to do it, you're going to lose it. So don't think about it, write it down. But when you write it down, you're using your hand and your eyes. If I say it while I'm writing it, I'm using my hands, my eyes, and my ears and my mouth when I say it. But the other part that it loses, why people still don't go through, is because they don't add heart or to it, or the heart gives us life. So I'm doing this for my kids. I'm doing this for myself. And so, yeah, we can write stuff down and we still forget, or we still do whatever, but it's because we're not doing everything, writing it, listening to it, saying it verbally out loud, and then giving it life. Yeah. And so hopefully that's helpful to somebody on here.
Hey man. So that's a great thought, and it actually ties into something I learned on the, I was just to record a podcast right before I jump on here. So if you guys have ever heard me talk about like the 20 year time horizon, like give yourself a 20 year time horizon and go, who am I going to be in 20 years? Who do I want to be in 20 years? Here's an example. So 25 years for me, I did 25 year Vista. So when I'm 65, I want to be able to surf. I want to be able to dance. I want to be able to squat. I want to be able to run. And I have kind of a level that I want for myself. And so if I know that in 25 years, I want to be able to dance with my daughter, and I'm not talking like old people dance, you know, I want to be able to dance. What that does, because it's a 25-year time horizon, not a three-month time horizon, it changes the level of commitment necessary for me, right? So it removes any, for me anyways, it may not do it for you, but for me, what it does is it removes any trepidation. Like sometimes the idea of starting something new, it induces fear, because you're like, man, I don't know if I can commit that much time. I don't know if I can like do it every day, or like how much I need to do. Like my personality is like, I want to dive in head first. So when I give myself a 25-year time horizon, all I have to do is take one lesson. When I got on the surfboard, all I have to do is stand up. I don't have to be a fucking master. I just got to stand up. And then next week I'll stand up and I'll stay on a little longer. Right. And when you push off that time horizon, again, that's just an example. It allows you to give purpose to your actions, but not necessarily be stressed about not being good enough to finish them. So if you say, when I'm 65, whatever your time horizon is, 25 years from now or 20 years from now, I want to have a six pack. Well, it changes things. It doesn't put so much pressure on you to go, oh my God, I have to give up all my favorite foods and I have to give up all. I'm like, no, you don't. You don't do any of that. You just got to make daily decisions that are ultimately going to move you closer in the daily habits, right? That are going to move you closer to where you want to be. So like if I'm 65 and I have a six pack, what are my daily habits? Well, I probably move my body a lot and I probably work a little harder than is comfortable. I probably train my body four times a week in the gym, maybe five. I probably make sure I don't eat after 7 p.m. I probably make sure I'm not eating a lot of processed foods. I probably don't smash a whole pizza on the weekend. You know, like, so it changes the time horizon. Yeah, we have short-term goals and those are important, but the long-term time horizon changes your identity, changes your character. And I suggest each of you guys work through that with yourself or with us. You're welcome to bring it up. Coach Chris, anything you want to add?
Yeah, I would backtrack a little bit there and I would say, you know, do hard things is a good idea for all of us here. Lean into the discomfort. If we're all dads or parents on this call, there's three very easy things you can do if you want to establish a habit, a routine, something for your client or your kids to follow. Three easy things. First is lead by example. Second is lead by example. And third is lead by example. Anything you want your kids to do, they got to see you do it. Monkey see, monkey do. You want your kids to be healthy, be healthy. You want them to exercise, better exercise, right? You want to be a man of your word or a person of your word? You want them to be? You got to do it yourself. So, you know, kind of to contribute to this, things that are uncomfortable for you, if you've got other people watching, family, friends, you can help other people just by doing the hard things yourself first. For some people, that's enough motivation. So use it.
Thanks, man. Andrew, anything yet?
Hey, team. Yeah, at the beginning of that, Ben, what kept coming up for me is if you read anything on Stoicism, what comes up pretty quick is temperance and staying disciplined. And so as you were talking, like, I'm always just thinking about, again, what are the things that I feel like I need, air quotes, right? What are the things that are possible potential crutches in my life, or the things that I really rely on, and are they in line with my goals? Right. So I have a client relatively new, maybe close to a month at this point. And he tells me on our first call, he's like, trains hard. He's been training for a long time. And every night he has a chocolate bar. Like, that's his thing at nighttime. And so I was like, okay. Well, then what I like to tell people in that case is, what is the minimum effective dose? Like, for that case, if your number one, his number one goal is fat loss, like, okay, chocolate bar right before bed, probably not ideal. So what's the next step from that? And, like, sure enough, it's pretty much gone at this point. So it started just like, take a quarter away, stick to it, focus on the goal. And he's not eating chocolate now.
Hey, great job, man. And different paths work for different people. Like, my personality is like, pull off the fucking Band-Aid, man. You don't get a chocolate bar anymore. Sorry about your luck. Like, man up. That doesn't work for everybody though, right? Everyone, like, it just doesn't work anymore for everybody. Like, I'm not a half in kind of guy. Like, if I'm eating a chocolate bar, I'm eating the whole chocolate bar, or I'm just never going to touch it. Yeah. Not half baked. Anyone else have questions, any comments, any thoughts, anything you guys want us to dive a little bit deeper on? Go ahead, man. Daniel?
I was thinking about what you're saying about front loading the work, and kind of near the topic, but as a coach, right, we care about people that we help, and you obviously do that to a very high degree, but how do you kind of balance not taking that work home? And I find myself, I care about people. And sometimes I'll be thinking about them when I try to go to bed. Or how do you kind of assure yourself that you've given them everything and you can let that rest? And how do you find that balance?
Great question. So you have kids yet?
No, sir. Just been married a year and a half.
Well, you'll learn when you have kids that becomes a requirement, because when you're coming home, you don't bring the world with you, right? So when my kids were very young, there was literally a anchor that I created as I walked in the door. Because if I come home to my angels and I'm anything other than happy, amazing, loving daddy, present daddy, then I'm failing. And so it was a necessity to learn how to shift, right? You shift avatars. I can't be the same guy at the gym as I am at the office, as I am with my family. And it's still, you know, it's an interesting self-exploration, because people are like, well, are you out of integrity? I'm like, well, no, I think it's different levels of arousal, different levels of self. But yeah, you learn how to do it. And I would say create the practice of one, scheduling, because, and these guys do it too, sometimes your coaching clients just blend into your entire day. And that's really hard, right? And I've done it. I don't do it all the time. But scheduling, like, hey, man, I respond to clients this time and this time, or this time and this time. And when that's done, you train your brain, and I'll give you a hack to do it, to let it go. And so this hack is a useful hack for every single person on this call, regardless of your objective. The only way out of your mind is through your body. You can't think your way out of a mindset. You have to feel your way out of a mindset. This is why meditation is a gift, right? It's learning how to calm the mind, silence the mind, exist in the heart, right? Exist in the heart, exist in the body, exist in the present moment, in the five senses. And that should be a practice of everyone. And I think it should be a practice before every time you put food in your mouth. I think it should be a practice every time you open your eyes in the morning. I think it should be a practice every time you close your eyes at night, is to take five breaths and be present in everything in this moment and create a practice of gratitude. So gratitude, gentlemen, is not an intellectualization. Gratitude is an embodiment. You cannot intellectualize gratitude and actually receive the benefits. Gratitude is an embodiment. Gratitude is a feeling, just like love, just like joy, just like happiness is an actual feeling. It's not a word. Yeah. So when we learn to practice gratitude, we learn to make it bigger. We learn to make it easier to access, just like everything we do. It's a feeling that we can access like this. And so learning how to practice that, the more you practice it, in the beginning, it's like a little flicker. But eventually you keep fanning that flame and the flame gets bigger. And eventually I can recall gratitude in an instant and I'm just like overwhelmed. And it's just like, it can become a really emotional experience because you're out of your head and you're just in your body and you're just like overwhelmed with gratitude. And so if anyone has a hard time being in their head a lot, if you have a hard time letting your day go, if you have a hard time getting focused, quiet the mind. Open the heart. What else have you, gentlemen? What other struggles are you guys having? I know it's hard on the spot, right? You're like, oh, I'm having this struggle, but I forgot on the spot. I meant to ask you. I always get emails afterwards. I meant to ask you this.
Oh, Ben, you just made me think of a question. It's like mindset before bed, you know?
There's no mindset before bed, brother.
Yeah, it's like that's the struggle I have because my ADHD and bipolar.
The mindset before bed, Dom, is like, and you can do this, man. You can do this as well or better than anybody. Is like become incredibly present in your body. So, Dom, if we were to sit here or stand, and just close your eyes with me, Dom. Everyone could do this. Don't do it if you're driving, of course. But actually, if you're driving, you can do parts of this. So if I were to start with like, feel your feet against the floor. Now you can feel it a little bit or because, so you think of, you have this white canvas. You have all this sense, all this information, there's hearing, there's seeing, there's all this information. And so that foot on the floor represents a very small percentage of the canvas in the beginning. And then if you focus on it a lot, or maybe you push a little more pressure into the floor, it can become a larger percentage of the information, right? And then I can go, okay, now feel the temperature in the room. Maybe different parts of your body have a different temperature. So if you're completely still, maybe you can feel tension in your face and your neck and your throat. Let it go. Maybe you could feel your butt against the chair or the clothing against your skin. Maybe you could feel your abdomen rising and falling. And each of those sensory experiences can be amplified, right? Right now, you maybe just have just like a little glimpse into what it feels like. Just like, oh, I can kind of feel it, but not really. But if you spend time with it, you can increase your awareness of it. Is everybody with me on that? Yeah. And so as you do that, what you'll all notice is there was no thinking. So some of you may go, oh, this guy, what's this guy talking about? Like your brain goes, so what the fuck is this guy doing? I'm supposed to be on a coaching call here. Why are we talking about meditation? But it's true. So if you get good at it, you can't be present in your body and have thoughts at the same time. You'll find in the beginning, there's a flicker. It goes back and forth. And then eventually you're like, you're in your body and you're like, oh, I'm out. And then I'm back in, I'm out. That's meditation. Listen, guys, no matter how advanced you are as a meditator, there's always thoughts. Thoughts don't go away. The goal is to live in the gap between thoughts. And eventually the gap becomes bigger and bigger and bigger. And so in the beginning, the gap is small. You have like a squirrel brain, right? The gap's like, you're like, I could think about my breath and then I'm thinking about what I got to do later. But eventually you can exist in this gap. And in that gap is peace, is calm mind. It's also a connection to your soul. And I know that may sound weird and esoteric, but you know, when you really are still, you guys may not know what this is, but when you're really still and your mind is quiet and you're just present in your body and you're just present in this moment and experiencing everything through the five senses, there's a knowing It's not even a thought. It's a knowing that exists there that will guide your way, will guide your life if you allow it to. And a knowing is not the same as an intellectualization, right? Your soul is telling you everything you need to know. It's telling you how to be safe. It's telling you how to be happy. It's telling you what path to follow. But you have to be willing to do the work to exist in it, to be with it. Sorry, that took kind of an odd direction, but I think it's a useful framework to have. Does anyone else have like a practice to connect in with their, you know, when I say your soul, it could be like your inner voice. It could be your emotion. It could be what you're experiencing in that moment. Like some people say, it's like my ancestors, you know, I'm connecting into my people. All of the above, man. You probably have the ability to connect into all of those if you try, if you practice. Actually, trying is not the right word. It's just practice. Anyone else have thoughts or questions? Yeah, underwater submersion is one of those, like, you're not going anywhere. You might as well just surrender to it.
I got a question for you, Ben, now that my kid's not being absolutely crazy. Do you have any suggestions for any type of, like, I don't know what they call it, like, modalities for increasing, like, you know, that process? Like, Beata tried the, what are they called, the sensory deprivation chambers. She didn't like it very much. She felt that it was, like, a little bit weird, and it was, like, hard to concentrate. She actually got, like, yeah, almost more distracted. But, like, do you have any suggestions for things that people can, like, almost, like, ease into, or different ones that work differently?
Yeah. So the beginning of the day is the best time, because when you're waking up, there tends to be less stuff, right? As soon as you grab the phone, the kids are there, like there's more like things rushing in, you know? So the easiest way to start tapping into that is as soon as you wake up. Like, you don't do anything. You don't touch your phone. You just sit straight spine. You tap in. Because as soon as anything else comes in, you're going to get distracted. Although I will tell you, man, the greatest benefit will come when you're in those hard times. When, you know, I always call it, like, you know, a true monk can sit in the eye of a storm and be completely at peace. And those are the opportunities, because, like, if I can sit in the middle of a time when I should be chaotic and I should be stressed and I should be anxious and angry or upset or whatever, and I'm just at peace, that's a really big opportunity. Because all you're doing, guys, if you think about this, the first thing you're doing is you're learning to control your level of arousal. And when you control your level of arousal, the brain tends to be in synchronicity. It becomes synchronized. And when the brain is synchronized, it's organized. It's not chaotic. But when I'm thinking about different things all the time, my eyes are jotting all around, my brain is chaotic. And so to learn to organize your brain, sync the hemispheres of the brain, just creates a more powerful version of your brain. But that really just requires learning how to sit in peace and silence and doing nothing. I do it every day in the sauna. So in the sauna, like, that's my peace, man. Like, I sit there usually 30 minutes at a time, or in the cold tub. It's a very good way for me to end my day, because it just dials me down. I could be fucking on fire the whole day and running full speed. And I do that at the end of the day. I'm chill. Steve, if she has a hard time, have her use Sam Harris's app. I think he's the best meditation coach in the world. He's phenomenal with, like, teaching you how to, what to think about, or what to be with, you know. I think he's phenomenal. So if anyone doesn't have Sam Harris's app, it's called Waking Up. It's phenomenal. I can send you all a free month if anyone wants it. I can drop it in the Telegram group. Is anyone not in the Telegram group? If you're not, jump in there. Danu, you should jump in there. Sarah, if we could send them an invite. If anyone else isn't in there, get in there. We have some fun conversations. And hopefully more soon. Anything else I can support with, guys? Any questions on nutrition, on training, on lifestyle?
I have a question, or more maybe input. I haven't gone through the whole like coursework. I haven't gone through everything, but just ideas for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. I know that we have the meal. I have a meal plan, stuff like that. But just getting different ideas, things like that. One thing that I've loved is on my nutrition plan. It's yogurt and mango, and I don't classify myself as bougie at all, but I won't eat fruit unless it's cut up. I won't do it myself, call it lazy, whatever. But I started to cut up the fruit and mango and stuff. And the mango and yogurt is like my candy. I cut candy out completely. I would have bags and bags of candy while I'm working. And that has been my savior pretty much at night when I'm hungry. But are there any other ideas or on the platform? Is there any other like cooking ideas,
or snacking ideas, or meal ideas?
Meal ideas, I guess, because I would have never thought of doing that before. But yeah. And then another one is maybe seasoning as well.
Yeah, man. I'll tell you the key to long term success. I'm not going to tell you this is key to short term success. The long term success is finding 5 to 7 meals that are really easy that you really love, and so. And the simpler those meals are, the better. So the way that I eat, and I just love the way I eat, man, is I find really high quality meat and I cook the meat, and usually just in a cast iron pan. So I'll cook salmon, I'll cook steaks, I'll cook ground meat, I'll cook chicken, just in a cast iron pan. So literally if it's cooked from room temperature, it takes 7 minutes, maybe 10, depending how thick the chicken is. And then I find the highest quality olive oil I can find, which is fresh press olive oil. If you don't have that, getfresh35 is the website.com. And then I find different types of salt. So you can find like Himalayan sea salt. You can find Hawaiian black salt. You can find Celtic sea salt. You can find all these different types of salt, and you find what you like. And so for me, meat, olive oil, and salt is the base of every meal. And then I'll just pick a couple different vegetables that I enjoy. And, you know, one will be raw, one will be cooked. And the total meal prep time is 7 to 10 minutes. And the thing that makes it taste great is the really high quality olive oil, the really high quality ingredients, and the salt. And then on top of that, I'll choose things like, I'll find some pickles, or I'll find some sauerkraut, or I'll find some kimchi, or I'll find some cucumber, like anything that's just like quick and easy. My meals never take more than 7 minutes. Maybe 10. And building your base around high quality ingredients rather than fancy is easier and better. And then if you want to have fancy, you stack on top of that. So if you're like, oh, I'm also going to have this other thing over here. So I always, and all my clients work like this, right? It's like, I want you to have a base level of nutrition that you can rely on every day. This is your baseline. If you want to eat on top of that, you want to have something fancy, no problem. Eat it. Want yogurt and mango? Great. Whatever. Right. But as a baseline, start creating the habit of like every meal has a little bit of meat, a little bit of vegetables, a little bit of oil, a little bit of salt as a base. And if you can, and I guess the last thing I'll say is if you can wrap your head around enjoying the higher quality food for what it is and not having to add extravagant things on it, then you're like, that's why I said it's a long-term solution. It's just so much easier, man. Efficient, delicious, nutritious. Did you guys see Coach Mike's post in the Facebook group yesterday? Oh, Juan, one more thing that I do, man. Fuck, I'll take a photo of you guys. I'll show you what I got downstairs in my kitchen. I have a guy who's a local forager who goes out every week and pulls in these ridiculous things. Like, so last week I had a 5-pound bag of wild blueberries that this guy picked by himself. And he saw like sticks and I'll post the photo. So like sticks and leaves in it. I'm like, I don't care. And downstairs I've got 10 pounds of chanterelle mushrooms, 10 pounds of black oyster mushrooms, and 5 pounds of, this guy picked them himself. I was like, man, I'll take all of it. I want all of it. I'm like, I'm just eating mushrooms for the next week or next 2 weeks. Doesn't matter. So if you can find somebody local to you who has really cool, high quality stuff, that's like a farmer's market, or like, I don't know where you live, but if there's somebody who's foraging, there's often people around. What a amazing addition to my life. I'll show you guys, it would blow your mind. Like this, It's just like hit the jackpot on wild mushrooms. Not the fun kind, but the delicious kind.
Hey guys, I would say I'm a chef, right? And Ben, you nailed it, right? Like you want to work with high quality ingredients, first of all, first and foremost. And I would add on top of that, like you were saying, kimchi, sauerkraut, really looking for acid, right? So pickles, chimichurris, right? With really nice olive oil, with garlic, with herbs, with lemon. You know, salsas, like spicy salsas, chilies. I think things like that to add on top of your meat, on your vegetables, on top of the simple cooking with high quality ingredients is the way to go. Cause, you know, sometimes I do the same thing. I make it too simple and I'm always just looking for one thing to like spice it up or to jazz it up just to make it exciting. Right. Mm-hmm. And generally in food, when I'm cooking, you're looking for acid. That's what's going to wake your palate up. That's what's going to kind of make you excited for the meal that you're eating.
There you go. Acid's great. I always just add apple cider vinegar just because I like it. But I know like everyone's like, oh, real, like most people aren't going to like apple cider vinegar on their food. Thanks for that, man. Appreciate that. That was a super great tip. And I don't know how I forgot chimichurri. I think I'm the chimichurri, probably the person in the whole world that eats the most chimichurri, legitimately. anyone else have something? So one more thing as we wrap. I just finished a podcast with Dr. Sachin Panda. If you guys haven't heard of him, he's the world expert on circadian rhythms and circadian biology. Man, like so much information, so much value. And the biggest takeaway, and the reason I'm finishing with it, because it's not going to take a huge amount of time, is do everything you possibly can. Strong word, but do everything you possibly can to eat at the same time every day. He says, shorten your eating window, 10 hours, 8 to 10 hours in general, but it's got to be consistent, same time every day. So he does, I think he said 10 to 6 is 10-hour eating window or 8-hour eating window. So he said, if you can, eat the same time every day. That's going to massively change your health. It's going to change your sleep. It's going to change your digestion. It's going to change your organ health, organ function. So that was a huge takeaway. He's a fan of fasting at some level, but mostly it's time-restricted feeding. So allowing yourself to eat at the same time every day. So if you're not doing, and one other thing that I do with all my guys, and I haven't always done this, this is relatively new as far as something I'm kind of going hard on, is I don't eat food for 3 hours before bed. You know, the only time I remember eating a lot of food for 3 hours before bed was I went out with Mats for an extravagant dinner a few weeks back and we ate too much. But that's it. Like trying not to eat late at night. So I'm blaming monsters, but I'm telling you. Okay. One final thing before you guys wrap.
Ben, can I say something?
Yeah, brother.
I just want to say, I really like the no food before 3 hours before bed rule. I've been doing that a lot and it seems to be helping quite a bit.
It's really big, man. Really big.
Yeah. And a lot of stuff that I eat throughout the day, like I'll have like eggs or egg whites in the morning. I eat a lot of pretty bland, simple stuff. I'll mix fish, bake, you know, ground beef. And then sometimes I'll rotate seasonings where it'll go from like lemon pepper to barbecue seasoning, you know, to just basically a Creole seasoning or stuff like that. So people looking for variety, that seems to change it up. And then I'll mix up like starches, like rice or sweet potatoes or something like that. So as we're having this call, I just cooked some steak tips and an air fryer for about 7 minutes. So it's pretty quick. So just if anyone wants some ideas, there's plenty of stuff out there.
Well, but sure. Why don't we just do this? If anyone has a specific way you prepare your food, share a video or a photo or a message in the Telegram group. Let's add that in there because that's super helpful. I think everyone would appreciate that. Can everyone want to commit to that? Like, why don't you everyone post your favorite meal, your favorite meal in the group? Sorry, who's
Oh, I just said sure.
Okay, thanks, Jay. So one final thing, guys, before you run. We have a camp in Toronto in 2 weeks, at the 22nd, 23rd, 24th. I'd love to have all of you guys there. I give you my word, it'll be well worth your time. And so one thing we're offering to you guys, I'm not sure if this has been made, you've been made aware yet by your coach, is you're all able to bring your training partner or your spousal partner for free So if you guys come, there is a cost, but it's basically you're getting 50% off because you bring somebody for free. So if you want to do that, we'd love to have you. Bring your wife, bring your training partner, bring your partner, whoever. Love to have you guys. So 22nd, 23rd, 24th, Toronto. We've got, I think, 6 spots left. So it's always a really good weekend. 3 days, hard training, great connection, and yeah, lots of learning.
Oh, Ben, I got one more thing that I'd like to say, if you don't mind. I've been reflecting a lot on the past few months, and I was thinking, like, what was I doing at the beginning when I started versus what I'm doing now? And one of the things I noticed, I have kids, right? And kids never eat their full plate. So doing dishes, I don't want to waste food. So what was I doing? I was eating a few little bites here and there as I was cleaning all the plates. And, you know, I didn't realize that that was adding extra calories unwantedly 2 to 3 times a day, even though it was just little bites. So I stopped doing that. And I think that has made a big change too. So for some of the other dads on the call, like, if you find yourself eating little bits of food from your kids, stop.
Dude, I do the same thing, man. Like, always. Like, my son needs a steak. Well, I guess I got to eat it. You know?
Exactly, right? Like, it's not helpful.
Yeah.
So just a thing that I learned over the past few months.
Yeah, man. Love it.
As my kids come to me, start screaming. So.
All right, everybody. Hopefully we provide some value for you today, guys. Give me a thumbs up if you got a little value to today's call. Awesome. Thank you all for being here. Again, hopefully we'll see you at camp. At very least, we'll see you next week. Greg's going to be teaching next week, something nutrition related. But, you know, Greg's always awesome. So look forward to seeing you guys. Take care.